it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Moments. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome to another edition of You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, right here on the BetMGM Network. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging out with you guys over the next 4 hours, where you can find us across a multitude of platforms. Make sure to watch us live 24/7 on the BetMGM Network and directly on the free Odyssey app. You can also check us out on Twitch at BetMGM Network and on YouTube at the BetMGM Network. You can watch us on YouTube TV, Roku, Fubo TV, Samsung TV Plus, and more. And if you want to listen to us, you can go ahead and do so at Sirius Channel 160 and Sirius XM 205. And throughout these 4 hours, make sure you hit us up on social media. You can find me on Twitter, at Femi Abebefe. You can find me on Instagram, Femi_Abebefe. You know what? I'll put my hand up. I've been doing a bad job on the Instagram. I have not been on Instagram in like 3 days. I got to rectify that. We'll get on Instagram later on tonight. But you can find me there, Femi_Abebefe. You can check out the show on Twitter, at You Better You Bet, and the entire network, at BetMGM Network, over on Twitter. If you like our show, Bet Sweats, BetMGM Tonight, Daily Tip, all the shows that we have across the network, weekdays and weekends, at BetMGM Network is where you can find it. We got the whole crew hanging with us here on this Tuesday. We have Tyler Morales, Jake Hassan, Bill Zimmerman, Mike Brown, Sean Ha, Addie Bates, Nick Costos. He joins us 1 hour from now with his thoughts on last night's Monday Night Football doubleheader. That's all the Buccaneers beat the Texans and the Chargers beat my Las Vegas Raiders. You know, we're very invested. From a rooting standpoint, I don't care about the Raiders. But from a money standpoint, very much care about the Las Vegas Raiders. Last night was not great, and we'll get into that here shortly. But of course, if you miss anything across these 4 hours, make sure you check us out in podcast form. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, you might as well go ahead and subscribe, rate, and review. I mean, we're putting it all out there for you to consume in on-demand fashion. That's the least you can do. So subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. We have a couple of awesome guests who will be joining us throughout these 4 hours, starting at 5 o'clock Eastern. Three-time Super Bowl champion, color commentator for NFL on Fox, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast, our guy, Mark Schlereth, is back to recap week 2 in the National Football League. Who was he impressed by? Who was he disgusted by? We'll get into all of it with Stink coming up at 5 o'clock Eastern. Then during the Power Hour at 6:20 Eastern, betting analyst for NBC Sports Bet, co-host of the Deep Dive podcast, the one and only whale capper, Drew Dinsick, joins us once again as we'll give us his thoughts ahead of week 3 of the NFL regular season, which begins in 2 nights with the Thursday Night Football banger. I don't know if it's a banger. One team might get drilled, but I don't know if it's a banger between the Dolphins and the Bills. Maybe it's a dead coach walking spot there with Mike McDaniel going in as an 11.5-point underdog. We'll see what happens in Western New York. But let's go ahead and get into last night's Monday Night Football recap. We'll waste no more time because we have 2 games that we need to get to. And I want to start with the game in Houston, because that was, of course, the much better game than the nightcap for those of you who stayed up and watched the Chargers and the Raiders. But last night, Buccaneers beat the Texans 20-19. This game kicked off right as we got off the air yesterday on Monday. And I mean, you can't look at that game and just not think to yourself, like, what a gritty win for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, it didn't necessarily have to play out that way. And kind of hang with me here, because as we're ending the show in the Power Hour yesterday, the betting market moved to Houston -3 in a couple of spots. And at that point, I said, hey, you know what, Nick? I didn't think I was going to have a bet in the game, but at 3, I like the Buccaneers. I'm also going to bet some on the money line as well. And for a lot of that game, I'm sitting back thinking, yeah, I got this thing nailed. Like, Tampa is the better team. They're in control of the game. they should be able to win this football game. But for some reason, you know, there's injuries, you know, they're a little bit shorthanded. They just kept letting Houston hang around. And honestly, had Houston won the game, I'd have been sick to my stomach. And I would not have cried bad beat or anything like that because it would not have been a bad beat. It would just kind of been a regular NFL game where I just end up on the wrong side. But like when you actually watch the game, Houston had no business winning. But for some reason, thanks to that blocked punt and like all these other reasons, like out of nowhere, you look up and Houston's up 19-14 with like 2 minutes left in the game. It's like, what the hell just happened? How is Tampa not winning? How is Tampa now trailing, needing a drive to go out there and win the game? Well, thankfully, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they got Baker Mayfield, or as Troy Aikman called him on the call last night, all shake and bake. They got Baker Mayfield, and boy, was he shaking and baking, especially on that 4th-and-10, on that drive where he had to drive all the way down the field to score the touchdown. Bucks facing 4th-and-10, pass rush is there. Baker Mayfield steps up in the pocket, scrambles, picks up some yardage, and we're off and running. Baker Mayfield, what a drive. 11 plays, 80 yards to put the Bucs ahead, 20-19 with 6 seconds left. Like, it was just a well-orchestrated drive, and it was a very impressive game by the Buccaneers. I know the score says it was close and all that stuff, but my eyes tell me there's a clear difference between those two teams, and Tampa was the better team. And after last night, I was thinking to myself this, and I don't want to get too crazy or get too caught up because it's just 2 weeks, and we got 15 more weeks of the regular season to go. And then we also got some more playoff games I have to get to. But like, I was thinking about this. You know how I feel about the Green Bay Packers. They're the best team in the league, in my opinion. Of course, the best team in the NFC. After what I've seen through 2 weeks, and it's just 2 weeks, I think Tampa's the second best team in the NFC behind Green Bay. Like, I'll take Tampa right now on September 16th over Philadelphia. I'll take them over Detroit. I'll take them over anyone else that you might bring up that's in the NFC. Like, Tampa has really impressed me through these first 2 weeks. And when they get healthy, which is the big caveat because they're missing some key guys, when they get healthy, especially on offense, they're going to be sick. Like, I was texting the guys last night. I was like, man, I mean, imagine this offense when they get Tristan Wirfs back. They're without their best player. Pound for pound, Tristan Wirfs is the best player on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's been dealing with the knee injury since training camp. They win those first two games on the road without him. Wait until he gets back. Like, Baker Mayfield, like, I'm not the biggest Baker guy, but like, he's a good starting quarterback. I think anybody with eyeballs can see that. The O-line will be really good once Wirfs gets back. Let's get Luke Gadecki back as well because he played in last night's game, but only for like a quarter, got hurt again with that foot injury, so he had to leave the game. Like, let's get those offensive tackles back and healthy. They're missing both Chris Godwin and Jalen McMillan in that wide receiver room that can go along with Mike Evans and Emeka Abuka, who scored another touchdown last night. How about the running backs? Bucky Irvin's awesome. Rashad White, like, that dude was out there looking like prime Le'Veon Bell on a couple of those carries where he's kind of just like slalom skiing his way through the Houston Texans defense. Like, he was sick last night. And defensively, they can stop the run with Big Vita Vea in the middle, which I think you can't just call him Vita Vea. You got to call him Big Vita Vea. That's what it is, because that dude is massive. Go Huskies. He is an awesome player. And every time he's on the field, it makes the opposition one-dimensional. Now, here's the problem. And I guess not a problem, but here's the bummer if you're a Tampa fan or a Tampa backer. Like, they got the news earlier this afternoon that their star defensive tackle, who goes alongside Big Vita Vea, Kalijah Kancey, is going to miss the rest of the season due to a torn pec last night. Now, last night they thought it might just be a strain. Maybe it's not a tear. Unfortunately, it is a tear, and Kancey is done the rest of the way. And they're going to have to try to replace that guy because he's probably their best pass rusher on that defensive front. Like, Vita Vea, he can give you some pass rush, but he specializes in stopping the run. Like, they really need to kind of fill that void. And luckily for Tampa, they have a head coach in Todd Bowles who majors in sending pressure at the quarterback. Like, I think they're going to be okay. They'll be able to withstand this injury. But like, once they get these guys all back and healthy and back going in the same direction, this team is really, really good. And it's a team that I definitely overlooked heading into this regular season. Like, I've been on the Falcons train with Nick. Like, I like, all right, Michael Penix Jr. And maybe the Falcons can do it. Their defense looked pretty good, but it was also against J.J. McCarthy. We got to get some more data points. But like, I think through 2 weeks, it's pretty clear Tampa's the best team in the NFC South. And in my opinion, they're the second best team, I should say, in the NFC. Like, to do that with two road games and come out there beating Atlanta and beating Houston, two pretty solid teams, I am impressed by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. On the other side, I mean, the Houston Texans, we said it after week one against the Rams. I'm going to say it again. This offense cannot function with this offensive line. I refuse to believe that CJ Stroud just forgot how to play football. Like, he's clearly not comfortable behind this O-line. And it was a very bold strategy this offseason after having a bad offensive line in 2024 to say, you know what, we're going to trade away Laremy Tunsil and other offensive linemen. Like, it was a little bit of a bold strategy, and I was willing to hear it out, willing to go in with an open mind, but through 2 weeks, it looks worse than last year. And that offensive line prevents them from being able to run the football, which puts all the pressure on Stroud in the passing game, which in most cases you'd be like, okay, that's fine. But in this instance, it's a young wide receivers that he has to deal with. It's the two guys from Iowa State. And like Nico Collins, everybody knows that he wants to go there. They're not going to just let him throw to Nico Collins every game. Like, if you can't run the ball and now you're relying on rookie wide receivers, there's going to be those growing pains as we saw last night. And now for the Texans, heading into this Sunday's game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, they're now in must-win mode, and it's week three. You cannot afford to fall 0-3 if you have aspirations to make the playoffs, to win the division, to be a contender. That cannot happen, and that's what they're now facing on Sunday, where they're a 1.5-point underdog against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think right now, for me, there's no real betting opinion with that game. I'm probably going to just kind of let that be. We'll see if maybe some people come in with interest on Jacksonville to where maybe we get a 3 and we can bet Houston. But as it stands right now, I think the market's just right. And if you're Houston, the favorite outcome is that you fall to 0-3, which would be a brutal, brutal start to what should have been a very promising season in year 3 of this DeMeco Ryans, CJ Stroud-led Houston Texans. So that was the first game of the Monday Night Football doubleheader. The second game, as we're rolling along here on You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network, Femi and Bebefe hanging with you guys here in the Femi Hour. Last night in Las Vegas, you know where I live, the Los Angeles Chargers embarrassed the Las Vegas Raiders. Chargers win it 20-9, and honestly, like, the score doesn't do it justice. The Raiders are lucky the Chargers only scored 20 points. That the way it played out, had there not been a scoreboard, I would have assumed that the Chargers were up like 38-9. As opposed to 20-9, the Chargers pantsed the Raiders. And off the top, and I'm thinking about this last night watching the game, this is what the year 2 Jim Harbaugh bump looks like. And I hate to say this because, like, we just should have seen this coming. And what really irritates me is that back in March, in May, in the summer months, all summer, just talking about, hey, year 2 Harbaugh bump. Don't overlook the Chargers. Maybe they can make a run at the West. And then come August, like last week of August, completely just forget all of that and say, you know what? I like the Raiders. Like, that's my team. Like, and I still like the Raiders. We'll get to them here shortly. But like, we all should have seen this coming with the Chargers year 2 with Jim Harbaugh. It's happened at every single destination where he's been. The team gets better year over year. And Justin Herbert, the big part of this equation, is in complete control. He's as good as we've ever seen. Like, Herbert looks like the guy that we all knew was there, but wasn't consistently kind of showing himself with previous head coaches like a Brandon Staley or an Anthony Lynn. But with Jim Harbaugh now, like, we're now seeing it consistently. And Herbert is in lockstep and in sync with his offensive coordinator, Greg Roman. This offense is aggressive. They're not just saying, we're going to run the football like most Greg Roman offenses are. No, they're throwing the ball. Even last night in the fourth quarter, they're trying to put the game away. Bang, we're still looking to throw the football. And simultaneously, with Herbert looking as good as he looked, we're now seeing a Keenan Allen revival. Now that he's back in LA after a year in Chicago, we're seeing a Quentin Johnson renaissance. Both of those guys scoring touchdowns. Unfortunately, Keenan Allen had the first one. We did not get there with QJ on Femi's Island. But like, this team looks really, really good. And as it pertains to the MVP, because you're going to start to hear that a lot more, we discussed this last Wednesday when we broke down NFL awards. I hope everybody listened and bought themselves some Justin Herbert to kind of play a little bit of defense on those Josh Allen and Jordan Love positions. Like, this Herbert MVP thing, it's going to be a storyline all throughout this season because this Chargers team is that good, and I think they have the makings of a team that can win the AFC West. Because in addition to Herbert, the defense is also really, like, just nasty. Like, Jesse Minter's awesome. Last night was the Derwin James showcase. They had Geno Smith in hell last night, and it started from the opening snap. I joked with the guys in the chat, in our text message thread last night. I said, you know, it might be time to shut it off after Geno Smith threw an interception on the first play of the game. Like, every year, you get some of those Geno games, 2 out of 3 great games, 2 out of 3 horrendous games, and then mediocre games the rest of the way. Last night was one of the outliers. This dude was taking sacks on fourth down. He was throwing the ball away on fourth down. Like, he's usually an accurate quarterback. He was anything but last night. Airmailing passes, never looked comfortable. The Raiders just had one of the more embarrassing 19-play drives that you've ever seen in football history. 62 yards, taking up 11 minutes and 15 seconds, only to kick a field goal and make it a 20-9 game. Like, it was just embarrassing from the Raiders. But I'll say this as we wrap things up. There's no wavering in my belief for the Las Vegas Raiders. And as the team say, coaches, the players, etc., it's just one game, baby. It's just one game. And if you thought that I'd be wavering, you haven't been paying attention. Because last year, the Ramilly was 1-4, and I looked you dead in the eye and said they're going to win the frickin' NFC West. The Raiders are still going to the playoffs. You know, they just got to shake this one off a little bit, and they'll get back on the horse come this weekend against the Washington Commanders. On the other side, we'll get to the top stories from around the world of sports next here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. Hanging out with you guys on the BetMGM Network, Femi Ebebefe. 40 minutes from now, we will be joined by Nick Kostos with his thoughts on last night's Monday Night Football doubleheader that saw the Chargers beat the Raiders and the Bucks. I guess they had to come from behind to beat the Houston Texans, but like, that's not how the game kind of played out. Like, I get it. They had the game winning drive, but Tampa was in control. Tampa gets the win nonetheless, as they improved to 2-0 with 2 road wins against playoff teams. Sorry, not a playoff team in Atlanta, but at least a playoff team last night in the Houston Texans. So Nick will talk about the Monday Night Football doubleheader in 40 minutes. 20 minutes from now, we will break down the Heisman Trophy betting market as we head into week 4 of the college football season. Who's the favorite? Who's the bet that you should be considering heading into this weekend? We do have some interesting quarterback matchups in the Heisman Trophy market, which we will detail coming up in about 20 minutes. But joining us right now, like he does each and every weekday at 3:20 Eastern, it's our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman. Bill, how we doing? How was the sleep last night? Were you up late for the entire Chargers-Raiders game here in Las Vegas?
I did manage to stay up for it the whole time. And here's why, honestly. Otherwise, I would have been in trouble. So my better half is under the weather. She is currently dealing with COVID. So she's a school teacher, but she hasn't been to work here the last couple of days, which means the alarm is going off at 7:30 a.m. rather than 5:30 a.m. And tell you, those 2 hours, big difference in terms of the sleep when you've got a Monday Night Football doubleheader.
Hey, there you go. You know, you took advantage of a situation that's obviously not ideal, but you know, hey, you're going to take advantage of it nonetheless. Absolutely love that. I try to live on East Coast schedule. So like, I can't say that I'm feeling how you guys feel just because it's still like 10 o'clock over here on the West Coast. But yeah, it was a late one. I'm usually like already asleep at like 9:15 p.m. On the West Coast. I'm not a guy that stays up all night, but had to stay up and watch the Raiders, who like somehow had like multiple chances to potentially cover the spread, but Geno Smith decided to take a sack on fourth down and also throw the ball away on fourth down. But it's neither here nor there.
That was New York Jets Geno Smith.
Yeah, I don't know what was happening. I don't know if the curse of Derek Carr came over him as the Raiders quarterback, or I don't know what was going on with Geno Smith, but it wasn't good last night. But like we said in the last segment, you get these every now and then from Geno, but you also get some good stuff, which makes Geno so polarizing. Because if you love Geno, you can just point to like the 2 to 3 really good games. If you don't like him, you can point to the games like last night. But then the truth is actually the rest of the games where he's just kind of like the 15th best quarterback in the league, as opposed to like a top 10 or a bottom 10 quarterback. But hey, that's what we get with Geno Smith. All right, let's get to the top stories that we have today on the docket. Bill, what's the number one thing we need to know this afternoon?
Well, Femi, a piece of news, and we're waiting for the actual news on this one coming out of that Chargers-Raiders game, is the injury that Khalil Mack suffered in the game. Pretty gruesome arm injury. Really, his arm really pivoted the wrong way at the elbow. Now, a lot of internet doctors claim it's an elbow dislocation. He could be back sooner rather than later with a brace, but we have not heard anything if x-rays are negative. We don't know the status of Khalil Mack. We are waiting to hear from the Chargers. What's going on with that arm, Femi? Obviously, something we are all monitoring, a big part of that Chargers defense.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable that Khalil Mack is still able to play at this high of a level at this stage of his career. Like, it's always, you kind of forget, like, oh, Khalil Mack, like, he should be washed at this point. No, he is not washed at all. Like, he's really good for this Chargers defense, and he's their best edge rusher. If you're going to miss your best edge rusher for any matter of time, it's going to be impactful. It's going to matter to your defense. Now, can they overcome it? Yes. They have a really smart defensive coordinator, and there's other really talented players on that defense, as we saw last night. But replacing Khalil Mack with Bud Dupree, that is a drop-off, and that's no shade towards Bud Dupree. It's more so praise towards Khalil Mack. Now, what makes it good for the Chargers, not the good that this happened, but what it kind of makes them in an advantageous situation as opposed to other teams that might deal with an injury like this, is that, like, their linebacking core is awesome. Like, last night, Deion Henley, that dude was all over the field. Like, he was outstanding. And they don't even have Denzel Perriman back. I know he's on the IR, but he's going to come back next month. Like, you get Perriman back. Henley keeps playing like how he's playing. Derwin James looks like he's just a freaking monster on the field. Like, it almost feels like the Chargers last night were playing with 12 guys on defense. Like, that's how good they were on defense last night. And they were able to get to the quarterback. They were able to kind of keep everything in front. I joke about that drive that the Raiders had, their first drive of the second half, that took like 24 hours just to go ahead and get a field goal. But that was by design. The Chargers were saying, we're not going to let you get anything over the top. We're not going to let you beat us deep. And that's why Geno Smith was throwing the interception, because he was trying to force the ball. He's like, I want to push it down the field, as Geno always does. And he was throwing picks. Like, this defense makes life hell for the quarterback. And if they're going to play like this, even without Khalil Mack, like, this team can go places. And by places, I mean multiple rounds into the playoffs. Like, I think that they're going to win the division. I feel pretty confident saying that right now. And that's not to be like, I'm writing off Kansas City. You know how I feel about Kansas City. But, like, the whole point of betting Kansas City to win the division yesterday was that I felt the Raiders could beat the Chargers. Now that the Chargers got this game, like, the rest of the schedule, very, very manageable. It will not shock me if we're talking about the 9-0, 10-0 Los Angeles Chargers, especially if they win on Sunday against Denver. Like, this team can reel off some wins, and I think that puts them in a very, very good spot to have a home playoff game, maybe multiple home playoff games. And if that's the case, we might be talking about the Chargers divisional Sunday, maybe even conference championship Sunday once we get into January. So this injury to Khalil Mack, as long as it's not a long-term season-ending injury and it's just maybe like short-term IR if needed, all right, they'll be fine. But if it's a big injury, yeah, you feel a little bit less good about the Chargers. But at this point, there's just so much to like that I don't even think this injury can derail what should be a really, really special season for the Bolts. Bill, hit me with the next one.
All right, Femi, the Cincinnati Bengals making moves today. They officially moved Joe Burrow to the IR. The corresponding move there, they elevate Brett Rippon off the practice squad, as now they turn to Jake Browning to be their QB1. But they also added some depth, adding two quarterbacks to their practice squad in the names of Mike White and Sean Clifford. So, Femi, what do you make of this Bengals' new quarterback room?
Yeah, I mean, this is like the kind of the vote of confidence in Jake Browning, right? Because I know a lot of people, when they see the injury news to Joe Burrow, it's like, oh, they got to trade for Kirk Cousins. They got to trade for this other backup quarterback. They got to trade for Jameis Winston. It's like, no, we feel really good about Jake Browning. And let us not forget, back in 2023, Jake Browning did go 4-3 as a starter for the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, that's a much different team. That team could actually play defense. Like, this team, as like last year, cannot play defense. So it's going to be a little bit trickier for Jake Browning. But I think on the offensive side of the ball, as long as he protects the football, they should still be able to be an efficient offense, because they have too many talented wide receivers. Ja'Marr Chase, who's the best receiver for my money in the league, and then T. Higgins, who's probably the best number two wide receiver in the league. So, like, they should be fine. But if things ever went poorly with Jake Browning, I mean, we've seen Mike White play. Now,
there's only been like a couple of good games and there've been bad games the rest of the way, but he has played in the regular season. Sean Clifford, I mean, that's just like, you need a guy in the room, you know? Like, I don't think you expect to see Sean Clifford out there on the field, but the Bengals are protecting themselves. They're building around this. Like, I think they'll be fine, relatively speaking, but ultimately, like, this team, I never really felt that we're going anywhere. I still feel the same way. Like, they're not going to be an embarrassment just because I think Browning is too good, but ultimately, like, we're seeing, looking at like a 7-10, 8-9 team, which they were probably going to do anyways with Joe Burrow. Like, they were losing when Burrow got hurt against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So as much as Burrow matters, I think we're going to still get to the same result, just maybe in a little bit of a different way with the Cincinnati Bengals in 2025. Bill, hit me with the next one.
All right, Femi, a couple days ago, the Dallas Cowboys signed defensive end Jadeveon Clowney, and the Cowboys and Clowney now say they are planning on having him debut this Sunday against the Chicago Bears. Now, we know, according to Jerry Jones, how important it is for the Cowboys to stop the run. They traded away some edge for Kenny Clark. Now they sign one of the good edge setters in the NFL in Jadeveon Clowney. So there you go, Femi, your new look defensive front for the Dallas Cowboys as they look to stop the mighty DeAndre Swift on Sunday.
Yeah, I love it. They just traded away some edge for Kenny Clark. I had to get Kenny Clark in there, guys. That's what we had to do. You know what? It's the Kenny Clark trade. That's what we're calling it down in Dallas. it's just so silly, this whole thing. But to Jerry's word, like, they are focused on stopping the run, and Clowney's good at that. Like, Clowney, we all had these expectations for him when he came into the league back in 2014 that, oh, like, he's going to be, like, the next, like, Julius Peppers, or he's going to be the next this guy and be, like, a 12, 15 sack guy. No, he's more like a 6-7 sack guy, but then, like, is awesome against the run. That's Jadeveon Clowney, which is still a really good player. It's not really, like, number one overall pick type player, but it's still a really good player. Anybody would take that. They're going to be able to stop the run better. That's gonna work out for them. I think for the Cowboys, they need as many bodies as possible who have had even a productive game in the NFL on the defensive side of the ball. They need as many as possible to just be out there and to help this defense, because boy, is that defense stinky. It is not good whatsoever. And I think on Sunday, we're going to see a lot of fireworks. And like, the betting market expects that. That's why the total is all the way up to 50. There's even 50 and a halves in a couple places in the market. Like, everyone knows that there's going to be a point. You watch the Bears defense give up 52. You watch the Cowboys defense make Russell Wilson look like 2016 Russell Wilson when he was in the MVP conversation. Like, that's what's going to happen. So I would expect to see a lot of points. I lean towards Dallas, and I might get there with the Cowboys, because at the end of the day, with this game for me, and sometimes you get these games across the NFL, like, you think to yourself, all right, we got to pick 'em spread. What's my opinion? Who do I think's actually going to win? On one side, you got Dak Prescott. On the other side, you have Caleb Williams. Sometimes it's that simple. Like, in a pick 'em game, based on what we've seen through Caleb Williams through his career, and based on what we've seen from Dak Prescott in his career, Dak Prescott's the much better quarterback. So right now, I'm probably going to end up on the Cowboys. Let's see where this betting market goes. It's at pick 'em. I could see it going in a number of different directions, but I'll probably have a bet on Dallas by the time we get to kickoff. And in terms of the over, might not have gone high enough. Maybe over 50 still has some value there as well. But we got Clowney, and now the Cowboys can potentially stop the run. Bill, hit me with the next one.
All right, Femi, let's switch over to college football, because one of the stories of the college football season so far has been the struggles of Arch Manning. Now, Arch is completing just 55% of his passes. He's averaging less than 200 passing yards per game, and he's already thrown 3 interceptions. But Arch tells the media he knows he hasn't been great, and he needs to improve.
I think I just need to go out there and play my game. I know the type of athlete and type of player I am. Just go cut it loose and have some fun. Play ball.
It's not Eli Manning. That is Arch Manning, Femi. Is this a slow start for Arch, or is this an actual problem?
I mean, he does sound like Uncle Lee, right? That's what they call Eli. They call him Uncle Lee. At least that's what Marshall Manning was calling him in that little Sunday Night Football commercial with he and his dad, Peyton Manning. You know, Arch, I get it. Everybody had all the expectations for this guy, but there's no way to spin it right now. Like, he's just bad. Like, he is bad. All the numbers bear it out. Like, you look at QBR, which is a number that we reference quite a bit discussing the Heisman Trophy race and like those quarterbacks and how they stack up. In QBR right now, Arch Manning has a QBR of 49.6. That is good for 88th in the country. In fact, Arch Manning has a worse QBR than Nico Iamaliava. It has not been good for Arch Manning through three games. Now, that doesn't mean that it is panic time for Texas, because Texas is loaded. That defense is awesome. That team is loaded. I still believe in Sark as a play caller. When you're outside the red zone, in the red zone, I don't know what the hell happens to his brain, but it's not working out. But like Texas, as long as they don't just absolutely vomit all over themselves, they should still make the playoffs. Now, we're not going to really know if this team has improved until we see Red River in a few weeks in October. Like, then they take on Oklahoma and John Mateer. Then that'll be kind of a litmus test for this Longhorns team. But as bad as Arch was, they still did take Ohio State down to the wire in Columbus. So if Arch could just get like a little bit better and no longer be bad and maybe just be like average, I mean, this team is walking to the playoff because there's too many talented players. But Arch, all right, buddy, you're now on record. Let's see you go ahead and walk the walk as well as talk the talk coming up this Saturday against Sam Houston and beyond. Bill, hit me with the next one.
Emmy, let's switch over to baseball, because last night the Philadelphia Phillies beat the LA Dodgers 6-5 in Los Angeles in extra innings. That gave the Phillies their 90th win of the season, and that clinches the NL East division title for them. Phillies up 12 in the loss column thanks to the struggling New York Mets, and they clinched the division with almost 2 weeks remaining in the season.
Yeah, I think this is another chance where I can remind everybody that I did bet the Mets to win the World Series about a month ago. It has not gone well since making that bet. But on the Philadelphia side, like, the pitching staff is so ready to win a World Series. And that's what we've been saying about this team all season long. Now, the bats seem to be coming alive. I mean, you're getting Bryce Harper hitting bombs. Kyle Schwarber seems to hit a home run every single night. If this lineup could ever show up in October when it matters, because the last couple Octobers, we've seen them kind of just go cold, and all of a sudden that spreads throughout the clubhouse. If that lineup could show up, like, why can't this team win the NL? Like, I would like them against the Dodgers if this lineup could be counted on. I just don't think you can count on them. That's my problem. So as good as the Phillies have been in the month of August and in September, I can't get there. I still think at the end of the day, it's boring. It's probably just going to be the Dodgers. I think you needed the Mets to be much better. They've been terrible down the stretch. The Brewers, I'll believe it when I see it. I think the Dodgers are going to be the team because they're just so loaded. Otani's now pitching like deeper into games. They just have too much pedigree and too much talent to where I think they're going to go ahead and repeat as your NL winners and probably repeat as your World Series champions, because there's nobody in the American League that you can take seriously to actually win the World Series. There's some fun AL pennant bets, but to win the World Series, nah, not with your money am I making that bet. So Phillies, great. Dodgers, though, probably going to be your World Series champions once again. But we'll finalize all of our playoff bets in a couple of weeks at the end of the regular season. On the other side, we're doing the Heisman. We break down the market ahead of a pivotal weekend in college football next here on YBYB.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Let's get back to it here on a Tuesday on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi Abebefe hanging with you guys here this afternoon. 20 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Nick Kostos with his thoughts on last night's Monday Night Football doubleheader that saw the Chargers beat the Raiders and the Buccaneers beat the Houston Texans. Nick will give us his thoughts at the top of the hour to begin the 4 o'clock hour. But let's go ahead and get into the Heisman Trophy betting market here. We will hear from Jake Kassan and Tyler Morales later on in the segment with their best bets for tonight, but want to go ahead and break down the Heisman Trophy market as we head into week 4 of the college football season. And as we do with every single awards market, we must begin with the favorite, a new favorite in the market, as it is now Miami quarterback Carson Beck. Over at BetMGM, he is plus 700 to win this award. And you take a look at Carson Beck and his statistical output so far through three games, he makes a lot of sense to win the Heisman Trophy. QBR, as we outlined thoroughly in last week's Heisman Trophy breakdown, we're not going to do it today. If you missed it, make sure you check that out in podcast form. Just go back to last week and you'll find out how much QBR matters to winning this award. But Carson Beck is in the top 5 nationally. That's where all the other Heisman Trophy winners were. He is fourth in the country in QBR. In week three, had a 91.4 QBR against USF as they dominated them. They're a 7.5-point home favorite against Florida. I like Miami in that game. Like, I think Florida stinks. And I think that was more about LSU not being able to put them away. I mean, they turned the ball over five times and LSU only scored 20 points. Miami's not doing that. I think Miami's much better than LSU. And I think we're starting to see that LSU's win over Clemson. Oh my goodness, the Battle of the Tigers in Death Valley. Like, you know, like Clemson just lost to Georgia Tech. And Clemson was trailing by 16 against Troy. Like, that win's not as great as it was during Labor Day weekend. And I think Miami is going to continue to flex its muscles. So Carson Beck, is now the time to bet him? I don't think so, just because it feels like you're kind of chasing the number, right? Like, this was around 30-1, 25-1 in the summertime. Now it's down to 7. It's just right. It's just justified. And he does have a couple of marquee games on deck. Not like as many as most Heisman contenders, but they do have a couple games. At Florida State will be a massive one as that rivalry is renewed. Miami-Florida State, I remember growing up, that game meant everything for who was going to win the national title. Not as much anymore, but still a really fun rivalry. They have a game against Louisville at home on a Friday night. That'll be a standalone game. So he has chances to continue to impress. But I think right now his number is just right. I don't think you need to chase Carson Beck right now, even though he is a justified favorite. A couple of really fun games that I think will shake up the market this Saturday. One is in the Big 12, and one is in the SEC. I'm going to start with the one in the SEC because that's between Auburn and Oklahoma. Revenge game, perhaps, for Jackson Arnold, who was told to see you later in Norman last year. Jackson Arnold was supposed to be the guy for OU, goes into the portal, ends up at Auburn, and now will be taking on John Mateer, Moneyline Mateer, and the Sooners. So John Mateer over at BetMGM, he is sitting at plus 900. And Oklahoma, at home, favorite in the game by 6.5. The total is at 49.5. My problem with Mateer, because I know a lot of people like him, and like they beat Michigan, and that's what kind of has him propped up as this like big-time Heisman contender. Our friends at On3, they do a weekly Heisman Trophy poll. Mateer's at number one for them. And I understand because he is a fun style of play, and they won a marquee game over Michigan that everybody was watching. But the stats aren't really there for John Mateer. Now, he might be able to rack up some volume, but the efficiency is lackluster in comparison to other Heisman Trophy winners. Like, we talk about you need to be in the top five of QBR through three games. John Mateer is 27th in the country in QBR, with a QBR of 77.5. And oh, by the way, Oklahoma has a gauntlet of a schedule coming up. Now, that also provides him a lot of opportunity if they were to win those games. Like, he will get a ton of credit, but it's very volatile. And I wouldn't want to bet on somebody at 9-1 who has the following games coming up on the schedule. Texas on a neutral for Red River. Home against Ole Miss. At Tennessee. At Alabama. Home against Missouri. Home against LSU. Like, that doesn't sound like a guy that I would want to bet who's sitting at plus 900 and his team is plus 170 to make the CFP. I mean, Oklahoma had a win total of like 7.5 heading into the season. Like, that's not the kind of team that produces a Heisman Trophy winner. So Mateer, it's fun, it's sexy, and everybody has like the, oh, like he's like Johnny Manziel, Moneyline Mateer. I don't want to go ahead and get involved. In fact, if I had to, and I'm not going to recommend this bet, but if somebody said you must bet either Mateer or Jackson Arnold, I would ask you to bet Jackson Arnold before I bet John Mateer. He's at more than double the price at 20-1. His QBR much higher than Mateer's. He's ninth in the country in QBR at 86.7. Now, his team is also up against it from the schedule as well, but I think Jackson Arnold statistically is what Heisman Trophy winners look like as opposed to John Mateer, who makes some really fun plays, but right now the stats really aren't there. The matchup in the Big 12 that I think is really, really entertaining and could see either of these guys have their price drop dramatically after Saturday is the Big Noon kickoff game. Marquee spot right as week four gets going on Saturday, Texas Tech at Utah. This is going to go a long way in deciding who wins the Big 12. And the two quarterbacks in the game, you have Utah's Devin Dampier, who's at 20-1, and you have Texas Tech's Baron Morton, who's at 25-1. Now, Dampier, kind of similar to John Mateer, the stats really aren't there from an efficiency standpoint. The QBR is 32nd in the country. Now, the benefit that he has is his team is favored to win the game. Utah is a 3-point favorite at home against Texas Tech. But there's not a whole lot of other marquee spots for the Utes to really put Dampier on that pedestal. There's obviously Saturday's game, and then they have a Friday game in Lawrence at Kansas. Outside of that, like the Big 12 just doesn't get a whole lot of attention nationally in comparison to the SEC or the Big 10. Like the Big 12 is kind of an afterthought. And that's kind of the same thing that Baron Morton has working against him as well. Like Texas Tech, you look at their marquee games beyond Saturday, they're taking on Arizona State and Tempe in a game against the Big 12 champions from last year. Like that's not really like the sexy game that kind of gets Heisman voters going and kind of has all the attention. Texas Tech at Arizona State? No, like nobody's really signing up for that one. Maybe it could be fun, but it's not going to really draw a lot of eyeballs. And Morton, his stats have been better than Devin Dampier's. He's 18th in the country in QBR, but I just don't really want to buy right now because they're an underdog in the game. Even though I believe they're going to win the game, I like Texas Tech. I just don't think that he's going to get the notoriety that's needed to win the Heisman Trophy. And a couple of other guys that I think definitely do not bet because they're on bye weeks heading into this week, but keep in mind going forward this college football season. One of them is Gunnar Stockton for Georgia. I mean, the game that he played on Saturday against Tennessee was unbelievable. The throw that he had on that fourth down, like just making gutsy play after gutsy play. He's seventh in the country in QBR. That can definitely win. His team is awesome. Georgia's going to play in a bunch of marquee games. They have a game against Alabama coming up. They're at Auburn, home against Ole Miss, cocktail versus Florida. They're home against Texas, home against Georgia Tech in a standalone. Like they have a ton of marquee spots. And their team quality is good enough as well. Gunnar Stockton will be heard from in this Heisman Trophy race. Marcel Reed, another guy, would never bet him right now because he's about to go on bye week. Do not bet players who are going on their bye week. He's at 15-1 coming off of beating Notre Dame in a very prime spot, a marquee game this past Saturday. My issue with Marcel Reed, statistically, not really in line with other Heisman Trophy winners. Like 38th in the country in QBR. That's not what wins. It's top five. You need to be in the top five, preferably in the top three. Like you need to be in the top five. And A&M, they got some tricky games, all of them on the road at LSU, at Missouri, at Texas. Like those are hard games for Texas A&M. Not to say that they can't win them. I just would not be running and betting that 15-1 just because of what he did Saturday night against Notre Dame. Which brings me once again to the guy that I think you should be betting and should have been betting over the last 10 days, and that's USC quarterback Jaden Maiava. People just aren't paying attention because USC has not had the marquee game yet. But Jaden Maiava, folks, once again, leads the country in QBR. Number one with a QBR of 94.3. And this past Saturday at Purdue, put up a QBR of 90.1. That's three games of QBRs 90 or above. Now, you might say, well, they haven't played anyone, Femi. And I'd say, you know what? That's fair. But guess what? They're going to start playing some people shortly. Now, this Saturday, home against Michigan State, they're a 17.5-point favorite. All right, that's not like the greatest spot or whatever. It's 11 o'clock Eastern. It's going to be a late kick, but whatever. Going forward, though, at Illinois, that'll be a big game. Home against Michigan, at Notre Dame, at Oregon. They go 2-2 in that stretch and win their other games. I think Jaden Maiava, at worst, will be in New York for the ceremony. And if he keeps putting up stats like he is, I think has a very good chance to win this award. 20-1. There's still a lot of meat on the bone for Jaden Maiava, the country's leading passer when it comes to QBR. So Heisman heading into week four, Beck is a justified favorite. But if you want to bet and need a bet, it's USC quarterback Jaden Maiava until further notice. All right, let's bring in our guys, Jay Kassan and Tyler Morales, to get their best bets from around the Major League Baseball and the rest of the world in sports. We'll start off with Jake. Jake, how we doing today? What do you like tonight on the diamond in Major League Baseball?
I like a couple of dogs, so how could this possibly go wrong? I'll take Michael King as a dog against the Mets, who are playing terrible baseball and might miss the playoffs at this point. I'm also going to fade the Mariners. You want to make Logan Gilbert on the road a minus 150 favorite? Be my guest. I will take the Royals at home, where Michael Wacha's been awesome. He's got a 2.5 home ERA. And then the Blue Jays and Rays are a pick'em. Okay. I'll take the Blue Jays in that one, even though it's Jose Berríos, and that scares me.
Oh, you're backing Berríos, buddy. I don't know about that. There's a pick'em for a reason. That's a pick'em for a reason. That dude is a... Oh, no, I cannot get there. But definitely, I am concerned about the Mets. Would not be surprised to see them lose again tonight. Tyler, what do you like tonight in sports?
I know the crew is tired of me talking about this. NL Rookie of the Year, the race is heating up. It's heating up with a week left. Cade Horton pitches tonight.
Actually, enough! I like
the Cubs.
This.
Plus money against Paul Skeens. Cade Horton's been unstoppable. Drake Ball went 0 for 5 today. Cade Horton cements NL Rookie of the Year tonight. So let's go Cubs on the money line. Sorry.
Oh, my gosh. One of the worst award races you will ever see in NL Rookie of the Year. But to Tyler's credit, there's money to be made. All tickets cash the same. And to that, my friend, I just say Godspeed. Good luck with your Cade Horton tickets. Someone's got to win it. Maybe you'll be the Chicago Cubs pitcher. All right, that does it for the 3 o'clock hour here on You Better You Bet. On the other side, Nick Costos joins us with his thoughts on the Monday Night Football doubleheader that saw my Las Vegas Raiders embarrass themselves and the Buccaneers put their stamp on being one of the best teams in the NFC. It's all coming at you next year on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.